movement that encourages you to live with less stuff and find more time and joy in the process. So what is minimalish? It's a grace-filled way of doing the same thing. Sustainable, realistic minimalism that actually makes sense for your life. It's not all about subscribing to a movement and trying to do it perfectly, but rather questioning how that movement fits best within your life. The Minimalish Podcast is here to help make life lighter, realistically, for the everyday mom. I'm Desiree, and my passion is to help you enjoy motherhood, your family, and your home by cutting the clutter and excess stuff in your life. Minimalism has helped me not only make my home a better place, but also become a better version of myself. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about each week. So grab a cup of coffee and let's walk towards simple together. Welcome to the Minimalish Podcast. This is episode 21, and I'm so excited to share the inspiring conversation that I had with Debt Kickin' Mom today with you all. My family and I started a debt-free journey together just this year. We started in January, and it's been something that has been amazing already, but a really hard step to take. And let's just be honest and say that financial stress can be really crippling. I would say it's something that affects a good majority of us. So Debt Kickin' Mom has so much good insight to share with us today in this conversation. So I'm just gonna get right to that conversation. I am surely not the expert at this, but she and her family paid off $77,000 worth of debt in 3 years. It was almost exactly 3 years. So just be inspired by her journey, be inspired by the encouragement that she shares. I know that you will. And everything that we talk about today, including kind of the budgeting program that we both went on, Financial Peace University is the financial program that can guide you to get out of debt. And that is what we both use. So I'll link that below. And I'm just going to link everything that we talk about in the show notes today. And I'm also going to link a few of her YouTube videos that I think might be super helpful, especially when we talk about meal planning today. So we are going to talk about grocery budgeting and meal planning and zero food waste. So I'm going to link some of her videos below for you. Okay, I don't want to take up any more time introducing this episode to you all. So let's just jump into my conversation with Debt Kickin' Mom. Okay, well, welcome to the Minimalish Podcast. I'm so glad you agreed to come on and share your family's incredible journey to becoming debt-free. It's something my family and I just started on, so I've been really inspired by following your account and your YouTube videos. So before we get started, can you go ahead and tell our listeners who you are?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I have been being so inspired by your podcast, so thank you for that. So I'm known on the internet as Debt Kickin' Mom, and I have four kids. My oldest is 11 and a half, and my youngest is about 4 and a half. I've been married to my high school sweetheart for 12 years, and I'm also a second grade teacher. So that kind of sums up like who I am and what I'm passionate about, my family and teaching and all that.
I think what part of what makes your story so cool is that you guys have four kids. So you did this with a big family, and that just, I think, makes it pretty unique. But before we even dive into that, can you just talk a little bit about Debt Kickin' Mom and how you started it? And you could tell our listeners where they can find you online as well.
Oh, yeah. I started Debt Kickin' Mom about a year and a half into our debt-free journey. And I really just came online, like just in a space like of just needing some encouragement. We had been on the debt-free journey for about a year and a half at that point, and we had had some, you know, major success with it, but we also had a long way to go. And I was just kind of getting burned out, and I kind of discovered through Instagram the hashtag, you know, debt-free community. And I was like, oh, you know, there's this whole community of people who are also, you know, working to pay off debt, and they're sharing with each other and all that. So I started off by just getting really inspired by other accounts that I had seen online. And then, you know, I was looking for that accountability. And so really Instagram is where I started, and it's where, you know, I kind of have the biggest community to this day. So I just kind of got on, just started sharing it, and all was just really to have a place for accountability. you know, making sure that we were staying on track. We were getting a little burnt out. I wanted to have a place to be able to post like those small wins that we were having with debt-free, with debt payoff and that sort of stuff. And just kind of just documenting our journey too. I realized about a year into it that this was something that was not only possible, but it was going to be incredible once we were done and once we were finished with it. And I really wanted to document it. Like, you know, to be able to look back and see all the hard work that we had done and celebrate that and to share that with my children and, you know, so they understand all the work that we put into this journey. And so that's why I came. It was very selfish. It was, you know, for me to be accountable, for me to have a place to celebrate our victories and stuff like that. But what I quickly realized is that the community online, this debt-free community, where people are, you know, they're sharing their wins and they're sharing their struggles. It's an amazing place to go to get inspired and encouraged in your own journey. Now, a lot of times, like the people in our day-to-day lives, you know, first of all, talking money and finances can be really uncomfortable for some people. So in my day-to-day life, I couldn't really connect with a lot of people about this huge thing that we are doing in our life of paying off $77,000 worth of debt. And our whole life, like, you know, I wouldn't say that we were obsessed with being frugal or obsessed with the budget, but it was a big part of our life. And I knew I was going to need a place to, just wanted to talk about it all the time. And especially at that halfway point in our journey, where it was kind of like, if you think of paying off debt as like a big mountain that you're climbing, it's like we had got to the top and now we just needed someone to kind of share that riding it to the end with, you know? And so that's kind of where I started. On like coming, you know, coming to Instagram, and it quickly became, you know, a community of people where we are sharing not just, you know, the milestones and paying off debt, but also how we were doing it. So it's like, you know, we saved this much money this month, or we cut this bill. Well, how, you know? And so I just started sharing that. I just started sharing how we were saving money on groceries, you know, how, what things we were cutting from our budget, what sacrifices we were making, because I think that, you know, a lot of people, like, we can go online and, you know, find the 7 baby steps for paying off debt and all that. And we know, you know, we got to make a budget. We know that we have to start living on less than we make in order to have a debt snowball, but nobody really talks about, well, how do you make those budget cuts? You know, and so I think that that was kind of what my page really became, was just me sharing the day in, the day out, day to day life of what frugal living looks like, and, you know, finding joy in it. And I also felt really empowered by being able to cut our budget and live frugally. So, you know, empowering other people too, like, hey, you know, you can cut these expenses. There's things that you can do. And that makes room in your budget for a debt snowball. And you're going to pay off debt and you're going to have those victories. And then in the end, be able to be debt free. So that's really what it became. And then I came to YouTube because as my following grew on Instagram, there became just so much that people, that I wanted to share with people that I could not share in a 15 second story, you know? Those videos really became, you know, coming to YouTube gave me an opportunity to create videos where I could really share in depth, longer videos about our story, let people know that I am a real person with a real family. And these were real experiences. And I am like, so we started off as such normal people. And I just really wanted to have a place where I could, you know, I think that people connect to stories and they can find themselves in other people's stories. So I just decided that we're just going to share ours, because that's how people are going to be led to the debt-free journey. That's how people are going to have hope and realize that they could do it too. So that's kind of how it all started. So you can find me on Instagram at Debt Kickin' Mom, and on YouTube also as Debt Kickin' Mom.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'll definitely link those in the show notes as well. So anyone listening through the podcast can just click right there and find you online. And I think that's so cool about social media, because the fact that you went there for inspiration, but also to share your journey, because social media gets a bad rep, and it can be a place where you can find community that you're not going to find in everyday life. Like you said, it's awkward to talk about finances with people that you see every day, or, you know, maybe it shouldn't be, but it just, it is. So
yeah, I agree.
But yeah, so you said your family paid off $77,000 in debt, which is so funny to me because I think I was watching one of your videos right before, maybe a couple of days before we got our financial peace like package in the mail, and I saw that number, and then when we added up our numbers, it was like 77,000 something. It's just like, oh, that's so cool. So not really, because it's not a fun thing to share in, but as you kind of had that, well, what feels like a massive amount of debt, obviously some people have more, some people have less. I'd love to know kind of what inspired you to actually start paying that down. Like, what was the thing that made you decide, like, we can't live like this anymore?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And we had like 77,456 or something like that. So we had really similar numbers for sure. Yeah. It's not a cool thing to share in, but it also, I mean, to be connected to somebody like that, you're not alone, right? That can be encouraging. So, girl, I would say that the thing that motivated us was just the stress. We were living in financial stress, constant. And talk about a miserable way to live, like just constantly being worried about finances. We were the average American family living paycheck to paycheck. That's it. My husband has always, by God's grace, had a decent job that has been consistent. And we viewed that as security, and we had a paycheck every month. And so it was like, we just lived paycheck to paycheck. But what happened was, because we had never learned to live on a budget, we had never learned how to save. It's just something that we just didn't prioritize or do. We just lived paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, by the time we had these four small children, we had no savings. Different emergencies had come up. Different life circumstances had come up, and we had relied on credit cards to hold us through because, you know, so we ended up with all this financial, with all this credit card debt. And it wasn't an astronomical amount. We had about 8,000 when we started our journey. I mean, I know people have a lot more than that, but we had about 8,000, but that was literally just over years and years of just living paycheck to paycheck that had just piled on top of itself. And it was just so stressful. And it was becoming to where our minimum payments were sucking us dry. And, we were managing, but we were constantly thinking, you know, is this credit card going to be declined if we swiped it? Or what happens if we don't have money left in the bank account to buy groceries and we've maxed out this credit card? And it just got to where, you know, we call it death by 1,000 cuts. That was our journey to debt, I feel like, for the most part. Now, a big part of our story too is that, and it goes on, we were feeling this financial stress pile up on top of itself as this life happened. The more kids we had, the more our lifestyle kind of, you know, lifestyle creep kind of happened, and, you know, we just wanted things. And anyways, we started to feel this financial stress, and I had always been a stay-at-home mom and, you know, always felt like my husband's we were making it, we were living paycheck to paycheck. But as the financial, as the debt kind of crept in and all that kind of stuff, and I started to realize, like, oh my goodness, you know, we're not getting ahead of our debt, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. We aren't going to be able to afford for me to be a stay-at-home mom anymore. Like, paycheck to paycheck is not even going to cut it, because our minimum payments just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and interest and all that. So I felt the pressure as a young stay-at-home mom to do something to where I could earn an income. And that was so stressful. And I ended up going back to school and getting my master's. And we started taking out student loans for that. And at the time, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to school, I'm going to be able to get a career. So you put yourself into this student loan debt thinking, you know, it's going to pay off in the end. And it's true. To some extent, that's true. But there were so many things that we could have done to get rid of our debt than to accrue more debt by me going back to school at that time. And for me to be thinking about that as a stay-at-home mom whose sole value was to be home with my kids and to be their mother, and that's what I wanted, to have that time clouded with me being focused on, well, this ride's going to be over soon because we can't afford it. That's sad. That, you know, that was a really sad reality for us, was that our financial stress was kind of dictating the choices that I was making, and like, it just, that's where the journey started. And so I had been in grad school and, you know, you put your loans in deferment while you're going to school and it was coming to an end. We had all this credit card debt, minimum payments were sucking us dry. We were barely making it each month. And then I knew I was going to be graduating school and my heart was not ready to go back to work. Like, even though as much as I wanted to will it and be like, oh, we'll get ourselves out of this financial situation when I start working and all that, my heart was not ready and I just felt trapped. And we had all this student loan debt that was going to come out of deferment and we were going to have to start making those payments. And we can't make those payments. We're barely making the payments that we have now. And we said, we are either going to sink or swim. And so we decided that, you know, we decided that we need to do something about it. Living paycheck to paycheck was not cutting it. And we were about to be in serious trouble if I did not go back to work. So we focused. I really, at that time, was not ready to go back to work. And I share a lot about that on my YouTube channel. I really talk in depth about our journey into debt and kind of how we started and all that. And I kind of talk more about that. But essentially, what ended up happening was when we started our debt-free journey, it was like, we got to do everything that we can now and work now to cut our expenses and live below our means and start trying to get ahead of this debt. And that's how it started. So we started with Financial Peace University, which it sounds like, I heard you mention that too. It sounds like that's how you guys started as well. And we took the courses and got on a written budget and it was like giving ourselves a raise. And we were like, oh my goodness, if we cut our expenses, we can do this. We can at least start it. Like, there was hope. You know what I mean? There's hope. We can at least start it. And not only did we start it and cut expenses, but we had great success with it. And we're pretty motivated from the beginning that, you know, if we were disciplined enough that we could pay off this debt and put ourselves in such a better financial situation and, you know, do this for our kids and get rid. So going back to how we started, get rid of the stress. Like, we just wanted the stress to be gone.
Yeah, that's, I feel like, you know, so many people's experiences, and that's definitely similar to our experience of just this stress that was happening. And it's kind of like the almost the opposite in a way of the fact that I was working full time teaching. Actually, I was a teacher as well, middle school teacher. And we, you know, kind of were fine. And we just, you know, spent freely, sort of lived paycheck to paycheck. But once we like ended up buying a house and, you know, stuff just piles up and you don't even think that, you know, it looks like if you're not looking at it closely enough, it's like, yeah, we'll make it. We'll be fine if we buy this house or whatever else. I feel like that's where ours started, is like we became house poor almost. And then I got pregnant and I wanted to stay home. And so it's almost like kind of the opposite, but that same motivation of just like, this is what I want so badly, is to be able to stay home. So can we make it work and how can we make it work? But yeah, so I can relate in that way. So what were the first big changes you made when you were just starting out in your journey? Like, what things had to change first and foremost?
We had to get on a written budget and not just create that budget. And we did a zero-based budget. So that means that looking at everything that is coming in and giving everything that's going out a name and a purpose and a job so that you're making your money work for you. So getting on a written budget and staying committed to it. And so that was like the biggest thing, is really being in charge and telling where every dollar is going to go, what it's going to do, and sticking to it. So when we did that for the first time and we sat down and made a budget, it took us about 3 months to kind of figure out, you know, what was realistic for us. But we started realizing the holes and the gaps and the leaks in our budget. And we started realizing that, man, you know, you think that you swipe a card at a gas station to buy a soda for $2 is $2. But you do that, you know, 10 times and your money's, you know, that, or whatever, you do it 100 times or whatever. It's just these little gaps we start paying attention to. And that all ended when we started our budget. So, you know, it was just like finding that. That's what really changed, is just being committed and sticking to the budget that we created. Having cash envelopes really helped with that, because it simplified our budget instead of swiping the card all the time and letting those, like I said, death by a thousand cuts. So we found that we were spending the most money with those debit card swipes. So when we eliminated the debit card swipes for us, that was really helpful. because it simplified our budget. We were able just once a month take that cash out, and then having that cash, like when the money was gone, the money was gone. So the budget, starting to use cash envelopes, and then we started going through and really just cutting things out, just cutting the budget. So wherever we could in order to be able to have a debt snowball. So, you know, we cut the cable and, you know, we cut eating out. And that was kind of the biggest thing, was just in those first 3 months or so, just really transforming how our day-to-day lives were and our habits with spending money. That was the biggest thing in the beginning. Like it kickstarted it to make that room for the debt snowball. And then from there, once we kind of got on a budget, figured out a budget that worked for us, but, you know, had each category kind of figured out what was realistic, what we could live off of comfortably. From there, the rest of the debt-free journey was really just maintaining that and staying committed to that.
How long did it take you to pay off the debt?
It took us exactly 3 years. Yeah, we started in January of 2016, and we finished in December of 2018. So almost exactly 3 years.
That's awesome. That's a pretty quick time period, I think, for that much debt and your circumstances, because you did stay home for the majority of that, right?
Yeah, I continued to be a stay-at-home mom for the first 2.5 years of our journey. I only went back to work teaching this past August. So I say back to work, I worked for 1 year as an after-school program director before starting my family and being a stay-at-home mom. So I'm really like a first-year teacher, and I just started that this past year when my youngest became old enough to go to school with me. So a big part of our journey, 2.5 years, the majority of it was done on a single income. So really cutting the budget and living frugally is what changed everything for us. I mean, we went from living paycheck to paycheck to being able to cut our expenses so drastically to where not only could we, you know, have a debt snowball, but we could pay off all of our debt in, you know, 3 years, almost on one income. So we created a lot of room in the budget by living frugally and cutting expenses.
Yeah. And what do you think the hardest change was to make?
Oh, goodness. The hardest change, I would say, is a mindset one. You know, like I said, the secret to doing it was being committed and disciplined. And that is all mindset. That is all, like, nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can do that for you. It's all up to you to just decide that your goal of getting out of debt is more important than the cravings or temptations that you have on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, it's like, it's day-to-day. It's day-to-day saying, no, I'm not going to swipe the card. Or day-to-day when you run out of cash in your personal spending envelope and you're like, that's it. There's no more cash. So we'll wait until the next time I fill up cash envelopes on the next budget. And it's just making those decisions to just stay committed. And that, like I said, it's just a mindset. It's discipline. But that is the secret. That's what will, you know, it's not easy. It takes practice, but you can figure out the budget. You know, you can create your Google Sheets or Excel and create the budget, but only you and your behaviors are going to execute that. So that was it, you know, and I would say that the hardest part of the journey, it was with that mindset and discipline and all that. That was also the biggest blessing of the journey, because when, you know, saying no to like certain pleasures or saying or being disciplined, like there's something that happens to your character when instead of going out and just spending money mindlessly, you are forced to look at yourself and what is causing you to want to go spend that money? What is causing you, you know, you're doing it mindlessly, but now, you know, the budget put reins on that for me. And so when I realized like I wanted to spend money when I was bored, I wanted to spend money when I was kind of feeling unhappy and discontent. I wanted to spend money when, you know, my kids were kind of maybe driving me nuts for the day. And it seems, you know, let's go out, let's get out of the house and let's go out to eat for dinner just because I wanted a break. So I started to have to really evaluate when those temptations to spend money were coming up. And I really had there's a lot of work that was done personally as far as my contentment goes and my attitude and my sources of joy. That all happened because of this discipline that I was putting myself through and my commitment to being disciplined. And I have to say, like, you know, I started over on my channel on YouTube and on Instagram, I have these contentment challenges. And it's something that I'm constantly having to work on is this idea of contentment and finding contentment. And I am naturally a very discontent person and I have this angst in me. And that's a lot of times when I would go out and spend frivolous money at Target or on Starbucks. It's just like, you know, I just have this need to just kind of do something or move. And then I started to realize like that's energy inside of me that can be channeled differently. So when I'm feeling discontent, instead now I take that energy that I'm feeling and that discontentment and I turn it into my ability to nurture the things that I have and take care of it and clean it and honor it. And so that was a huge mindset shift for me. So, you know, I still am a discontent person. I still am tempted to spend. But now I just have this practice of gratitude. And I have this practice where when I'm feeling those emotions that would cause me to spend in the past, now those emotions I use to do something that is going to benefit my family or benefit my home or benefit the things that I already have. It doesn't, spending money was just a distraction. Excuse me. Spending money was just a distraction to those feelings. And so now I've just gotten into more of a habit of, you know, just doing positive things with those emotions.
Yeah, that is so good. And I can totally relate. And I'm sure so many women, and especially like I realized like recently as a stay-at-home mom, I just have so much more time on my hands to figure out like, what am I going to do with my day? And what am I going to do like to entertain my child? And I feel like I have a lot of power to make or break our family's budget. I've realized that too. And that's so helpful. Just talking about contentment and realizing kind of doing some soul searching and what is it that is causing me want to like, you know, head to Amazon or head to Target or whatever it is. What are those things? And yeah, how can you channel it in a different way? So that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And specifically speaking of self-discipline or just discipline in general, when it comes to the budget, I struggle with food and grocery shopping because I can rationalize it to spend extra on that. Because like, I want to feed my family healthy foods. So I know that's a big thing that you talk about is kind of this zero waste food budget. And so talk about that a little bit. How have you changed and simplified your food budget, your grocery shopping? I know that's a like loaded question. I know there's so much to that. So obviously point us to, you know, where we can find your previous content as well. But I know it's a big part of your family story. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah. Cutting the grocery budget that was our biggest expense. So we cut the grocery budget. We were spending we have a family of six, and we were spending, when we looked back at our budget, we were spending around $1,000 a month on groceries, about average. And when we cut the budget, I was able to get it to half that. I was able to get it to about $500 a month. And that's just what works for our family. It's going to be different for everybody based off of their needs and where they live. So, but what it was really, I realized that in the budget, in the food category, you know, if I had so much control over that, you know, I really could hone in and really control that expense. That's one of our expenses that, you know, depending on how much effort we put into it and how intentional we are with it, we have the potential to save a lot of money. And for us, being able to pay off debt on one income, we had to keep that grocery budget in check. So I really kind of focused and honed in on that. And, you know, like I said, when you have spouse to feed, we're looking at, you know, that would be a very big grocery bill. So when I really started to hone in on our grocery bill, you know, I tried some things like, I was like, okay, well, the first thing that I kind of tried was looking at sales and shopping ads and being like, okay, well, I'm going to look at the sales and meal plan around what's on sale. Or, you know, I even started doing some couponing. Like, I was like, oh, I'll use some coupons. And I found myself every week when I would want to to meal plan and, you know, try to save the most on groceries. I found myself trying to meal plan around the ads, trying to find coupons. And, you know, that was a lot of work. That was really exhausting, but I did it and I was saving some money on groceries. I was definitely spending less and I was meal planning, and meal planning alone will have you save money on groceries and things like that. But I found it really exhausting to constantly be like trying to come up with new recipes that, you know, because I found these things on sale or whatever. And, you know, or trying to like, and then I also found myself like I'd get coupons and then I'd like stock up on all these things because I had coupons, but I didn't really need the things that I was stocking up on. And so I just found it kind of like overwhelming and exhausting. But I was trying to save money, so I was doing what I had to do. And then, you know, 1 week I just decided that, you know what, I'm so tired of meal planning, shopping ads, clipping coupons. I am just not going to do it this week. And so that week I said, you know, we have food in the pantry. We have food in the refrigerator. Let's, you know, we'll just make it work. And, you know, I originally had intended to maybe like not go grocery shopping for just a couple of days, but then, you know, we started eating up the food that we had on hand and we had plenty of food in there. And I was like, oh, you know, so some people call that like a pantry challenge. So I guess we started with like a pantry challenge. And we were able to create so many meals and eat just off of the food that we had on hand. Something just kind of clicked for me. And I started really paying attention to how much food that we had been throwing away and how much food just was getting wasted. And that all kind of came when I, you know, when I did this pantry challenge and I realized like, wow, we could eat off the food that we have. And so I did that for a few weeks. I just started eating up the food that we had. And then when I started going grocery shopping again, I once again just started thinking about, you know, we're wasting so much food. Like the more food I bring into my house, the more food I'm throwing away. And then I realized, you know, that is where our money, that's where a huge chunk of our grocery bill is going, is we're actually just throwing a lot of food away. So, you know, and then I started doing some research and I realized, you know, I started to learn that over 40% of food in the United States is thrown away. Like it's just thrown away. And the average family, like a family of four, and we're bigger than average family, but the average family of four will throw away $124 a month in groceries, just in the garbage. So if you want to cut your food bill by at least $120 a month, then just don't throw food away. So I'm like, okay. So I started to realize that that was a big problem. And, you know, you mentioned nourishing foods and healthy foods, you know, all of us want to do that. We all want to buy fresh fruit and vegetables and produce for our family, but that's one of the number one things that wasted. So the irony of going to the grocery store and loading your cart with all this nourishing food, but like not actually eating it, you may feed it to your family and you may offer it to your family, but it's more than you need. And you're actually just throwing all that nourishing food away. And so that really became something that I was passionate about. And my method just switched. So instead of meal planning around what's on sale at the store, I started meal planning around the things that I had on hand. And that became my priority rather than shopping sales or using coupons or stocking up on things when they're at their lowest price. Because I realized like, you know, I don't need to spend more money to save money. I can save money by just simply not throwing the food that we have away. So I simplified it because there's this 4-step process that I use now every single time that I meal plan. So the first thing that I do is I take inventory of what I have on hand. Every week before I make a grocery list, I go in, I check and see what's in my refrigerator, what needs to get eaten up, what's in my freezer, what's in my pantry. I check. I make a mental note or sometimes I write it down. And then that's where my meal planning comes into play, is then I meal plan around what I have on hand. And then I create my grocery list of only the things that I need to be able to fill in the gaps. So the focus goes from when you're creating your meal plan and your grocery list, we're not focusing on what we can buy on sale. We're focusing on what we can eat up that we've already bought. And that's really, you know, eliminating food waste and eating up the things that you have on hand. That's really how our family was able to save up the most money. And then the last part of that, the fourth, you know, so first you take inventory, next you meal plan around that inventory, what you have on hand. And then you create your grocery list of only what you need. And then the last part of that is then taking a look at the sales and taking a look at what you can buy at its cheapest price. And then with whatever room you might have left in your budget that week, go ahead and stock up on some really great meat deals that you can put in your freezer, or some really great, you know, canned beans or canned items that you can stock away and use the next week as part of your inventory and the meal plan around that. So I totally went from shopping sales first to really making that not the priority. And that's how I started saving the most money, was just, you know, simplifying things by just looking at what I had on hand and creating meals from that.
Yeah, I've recently started kind of the inventory thing over the past few months. And that's amazing how much you just don't even realize that you have unless you take that extra time to look and plan around that.
Yeah, that's really the most important part. That's the first thing that I should be doing that. It just feels like, you know, really, you've already spent money on that food. You've already spent money on that food. You know, let's use it up, you know, let's figure out a way to use it up. And that's where, you know, the creativity kind of comes in. And that's where, you know, spending your energy is worth it, to use up that food that you've already spent your hard earned money on. Don't throw it away.
Yeah. Awesome. So now you guys are 3 years later, debt-free. When you said you all became debt-free in December, right?
Yes. Yep. This past December.
So how did that feel to kind of make that last payment? And what does your life look like now that you are completely debt-free? I know it's only been a couple of months, but that has to be kind of an adjustment as well.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It felt amazing to make that last payment. Really just, it's super empowering to have a goal and to complete it. And, you know, everything that we learned along the way is just so huge for our family. And so of course it feels amazing and it's worth it. And I want everybody to experience that. And it's so encouraging for me to people knowing that, you know, to be able to encourage people who are still on that journey and who are starting that journey, because I know how good it's going to feel when you're done. And the best part about it, about being debt-free, is just the options that it's created for us. Like kind of going back to how we started from a place of where our options were being limited for us. You know, I felt like I couldn't be a stay-at-home mom anymore. We felt like we couldn't afford certain things that we wanted for our family. It's created options. And of course, going back to the beginning too, it's eliminated that stress. So we now have more options. We now have pretty much no financial stress at this point. And we just keep working towards our goals. And now, you know, we're on baby step 3 now. So we're still focused on saving money, because we never want to, one of our biggest problems was that we didn't know how to save money. So we never want to be at risk of going back to that place of being in debt and being a slave to the lender. So just, you know, being focused on the next goal, but we also have, you know, loosened up our budget a little bit. You know, our lifestyle has changed in the, you know, for 2.5 years on the journey, I was a stay-at-home mom. And the way that we were making progress on our debt snowball was living extremely frugally. And now, you know, now I'm a working mom and now we've have more income and now we're debt-free. And so there is a little bit of room in there to change our lifestyle and a little bit, you know, but our goals, like I said, because of all the discipline and everything that we had during that time in our debt-free journey, I was really able to hone in on behaviors that got us into debt and recognizing the behaviors that were getting us out of debt. And so even though we've changed our budget a little bit and loosened up on things a little bit, it's all based around our values and our priorities and creating really just, you know, a stress-free life with options and, you know, being future focused rather than just like making decisions mindlessly or based on emotion. Like that just doesn't happen with our finances anymore. Everything is intentional.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome to think about kind of that ability to just have no financial stress. That's something that I feel like there's such a small percentage of the population that has that. And usually, you know, you think it's people that are making tons of money, then maybe they don't have financial stress. But I feel like that's not even really true. It's the people that are able to, you know, tap into those behaviors and have frugality. Like being frugal isn't just something for if you need to get out of debt. Like it's a value to have in your life. And that's kind of what we're working towards too. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And frugality also, like, sometimes I replace the word frugality with resourcefulness. And the idea of resourcefulness is very empowering to know that, like, you can really be self-reliant in some of these areas. Like, you don't need to go out and spend money in order to have the things that you want. Sometimes you are resourceful enough and you're stronger than you think. I think that frugality, resourcefulness, and all that's what plays in. Those are those behaviors that I think people who can eliminate financial stress, they have that.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So before we start to wrap this up, what are some encouragements that you can give to someone who is either at the very beginning of their journey or is just in that place of, like, paycheck to paycheck, financial stress, and thinking about starting, but not sure if, like, they're even capable of it?
The first piece of advice is that it's, you know, if you're thinking of starting a debt-free journey, like, just do it and know that it's going to be temporary. So it may seem overwhelming and it may seem really hard and it may seem like, you know, wow, that is a lot to sacrifice. And it is all those things. It is overwhelming and hard, and it is a lot of sacrifice, but it's temporary. You're not signing up for a life of that. You're signing up for a season of that. And it's so temporary, you guys. Like, just do it, do the hard work, put that work in, and you're going to reap the benefits when that journey is over, when you reach your goal. So I tell people that, you know, a lot. Like, I understand how you feel tired, and I get that, like, you know, it's all these behavior changes. It just seems overwhelming. And don't try to fight that. It is all those things. But it's also very, very temporary. And you can do hard things for a short amount of time. And it's, you know, it's short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. That's really what it is. So I tend to, you know, really try to acknowledge, like, that with people, that yes, the debt-free journey is hard. Like, I think a lot of times people are like, you know, don't want to admit that it's hard, but it is, it's very hard. But, you know, you can do hard things. So that would be my encouragement to somebody who's overwhelmed by it. Like, yeah, but just do it and it'll be over. And then you'll be eliminating, you know, you're either signing up for a lifetime of stress and financial insecurity, or you sign up for a short amount of sacrifice and discipline for a lifetime of financial peace. So you choose. And, you know, there's a community online can support you in that. That's a beautiful thing about the debt-free community, that can kind of encourage you through that. And you're not alone in that journey too.
So I have two last questions that I like to ask my guests. The first one is, what's one thing that you are simplifying right now in your life?
One thing that I am simplifying, I'm working on simplifying my schedule. Really just focusing, like, when I'm planning out my days and how I'm spending my time, it really needs to be towards something that's a priority or a value, and, kind of like putting rest one of those priorities. So simplifying my schedule right now. I tend to take on a lot of things and I'm a bit of a go-getter, and then I feel tired and I wonder why. So I'm stepping back. I'm simplifying my schedule. Yeah, I'm really just making room in there for things that are important to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's something I kind of went through recently as well, because, yeah, it's so easy to just think we need to fill up our schedule, and really a simplified schedule is sometimes a lot better for our mental health.
It really is, yeah.
Last question is, what is something that you're loving right now or you can't stop talking about?
Oh my goodness. Well, something that I'm loving right now, the first thing that came to mind was a song that I've been playing on repeat. Like, the song was written for me, and it's so funny because it randomly showed up in my, like, YouTube homepage. I listen to a lot of worship music on YouTube, and this song by Michael Ketterer, I think is how you pronounce his name, and it's called Spirit Lead Me. I literally will just have that song on in the background, and I've been sharing it with people, and so it's been very inspirational for me. So just worship music and inspirational music has been something I just can't stop thinking about right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up. So, and I will, I'll be linking like everything we're talking about in the show notes. So I'll even link that as well. Well, then that is all the questions that I have. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. It's been just awesome for me to hear as well, because I really am also at the, towards the very beginning of this journey on baby step two, kind of right in the thick. So it's been really encouraging me as well. So thank you so much.
That's awesome. And keep going in your journey. I think that you're doing amazing things and it's going to be so worth it. So keep going.
Okay. I hope this episode inspires you to take steps in the direction of getting out of debt. If financial stress is an issue in your life, I hope this inspires you in any way that this is possible. This is possible for the average person. This is attainable for anyone. And I really hope that our conversation encourages you in that way. I also really love the encouragement about contentment. The fact that we make kind of these impulse purchases so often whenever we're maybe feeling bored or feeling upset or just, you know, we don't know what to do with our kids because they're acting crazy and we need to get out of the house, and we find ourselves at Target for just one thing and end up with a cart full. And I love how Debt Kickin' Mom talks about contentment and how to kind of shift our perspective in those moments and find and create a new habit around what we're feeling in those moments to make kind of a positive choice rather than a purchase. So I just love that part of our conversation, and I really hope it encouraged you as well. Make sure to check out Debt Kickin' Mom on Instagram and check out her YouTube channel. That has been so helpful to me, especially with the meal planning advice that she gives and kind of her thorough explanation of how she goes through her meal planning. It really is super helpful to have that in video form. So check that out. And as kind of a last encouragement, if you are loving this podcast, I would love it if you took the time to give it a rating or review. It takes 5 minutes or less, and it is a little bit counterintuitive to understand how to do that on iTunes. So if you're confused, I have directions on how to leave a rating and a review on iTunes in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you if you do take the time to give a rating or a review, and let me know if you're loving the podcast. Come over to @minimalish_motherhood on Instagram and say hello. Let me know how you like the episode. I just love getting to build a little community around the podcast on Instagram. So if you do spend time on there, come and say hi. All right. I will talk to you next week, friends. I'm going to be talking about slower living and kind of talking about how I've been slowing down my days, slowing down my schedule, slowing down my life lately over the past couple of months. So last week I talked about priorities, and this is kind of relating to that. This is kind of piggybacking off of it. And I hope that that will encourage you as well. So stop back next week for a discussion on slower living, and I will talk to you then.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.